We're back with more of Lake Effect Now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The late Lanford Wilson was a Pulitzer Prize-winning American playwright whose plays included Tally's Folly, The Hot L Baltimore, and The Fifth of July. He was a huge force in American theater during the latter half of the 20th century, but he also had another role as an art collector of some significance. Wilson had a passion for collecting pieces from artists who were not formally trained, and in Taking Center Stage, the Lanford Wilson collection of self-taught art, the Milwaukee Art Museum has installed a representation of some of the 179 pieces it was gifted from Wilson's estate. The pieces in the exhibit reflect Wilson's collecting philosophy and the diverse range of mainly 20th century works from all over the United States. Curator Margaret Andera recently spoke with Lake Effect's Mayon Silver about Wilson's collection, starting with two quotes on the wall of the exhibit that share space with the drawings and paintings.
There are two quotes that I picked out, and they're, we put them on the wall because I think it summarizes, number one, Wilson's approach to his collecting philosophy, but also I think they're really good summaries of this material. And so the first one says, "Whether we can live without art or not, I firmly believe that we cannot live without making art." I think that talks about this impulse to create, and that's where a lot of these artists in Wilson's collection started. There was this impulse to create, and so they did. And having not gone to art school necessarily, or having not been trained in a fine art capacity, didn't stop them from creating something. And then the other quote says, "Technique can be taught, art can't." People can draw wonderful lines and people can draw straight lines, but what is the image, or what is the feeling and the concept behind the work of art? And I think that's what Wilson was getting at with that quote as well.
What makes an artist self-taught?
These labels have started to mean different things to different people. And there isn't really a consensus as to what we should call a lot of these artists. You know, the label self-taught can often, even if it's applied to an artist who, like quilters, the Gees Bend quilters in our collection are called self-taught, but that's a tradition where that's handed down. So they're not really self-taught artists. But now it's become a term that really suggests that these are artists who were working outside of society. That's why I stopped using the term, because first of all, it's not true. And it implies this kind of lesser than. It becomes too much about the artists and less about the art.
Tell me briefly a little bit about Lanford Wilson.
So Lanford Wilson was born in Missouri in 1937, and he spent his formative years in Missouri and in the Midwest, and he ended up at some point going to Chicago. He was always a writer. He thought he was writing narratives, novels. He was working at an ad agency in Chicago, and he was listening to a conversation of some coworkers, and he realized that actually what he was writing was not a novel, it was a play. And so he decided he was going to be a playwright. So he took a class, and then he just like left his job at the ad agency and moved to New York in 1962, which was the very, very, very beginnings of the off-off-Broadway movement. And within no time, he was associated with a lot of the major off-Broadway and Broadway players. He ended up founding his own theater company, the Circle Rep, with a couple of other people, and went on to win the Pulitzer Prize, and went on to get several Tony nominations and several successful plays. Hot L Baltimore, which actually became a TV series for a little while, but Tally's Folly, Burn This, so a number of well-known Broadway plays. He started collecting this art after he was fairly successful.
Do you know the story about how he got into self-taught art in specific?
Yes. So he had become somewhat of a celebrity, and he was on a Hollywood film shoot in Louisiana for the film Steel Magnolias. So he was in Louisiana at this film shoot, and he was interested in art. He actually studied art history for a little while, and he went into a gallery, and there was an exhibition of Clementine Hunter's work. And Clementine Hunter at the time was a fairly well-known artist in Louisiana, but Lanford Wilson had never heard of her. And he enjoyed the exhibition and he thought to himself, I'll just buy something from this show to kind of mark my time here in Louisiana. And so that first work that he bought is hanging on the wall. It's a painting of some zinnias. And so that's the first work of self-taught art that he bought. And from there, his collection just blossomed, and his passion for collecting this material drove him through the next couple of decades. And if you're familiar with Wilson's plays, oftentimes in his plays, there's always a character who is not a misfit, but somebody who's kind of outside of the norm. He or she might be somebody who's just kind of on the periphery, I should say, of society. And so it's not a surprise that he was drawn to collecting the art of artists who were certainly working outside of the mainstream art world, and in some cases were sort of on the periphery, too, of society.
So walk me through, where are we right now?
We're in the very first room of the exhibition, and the very first room of the gallery I wanted to install as sort of a microcosm of how Lanford Wilson collected his self-taught art collection. Because a lot of times collectors, when they're putting together a collection, they go for the big names, and that's their goal throughout their whole collecting history, is they just want to keep getting the bigger and bigger names in whatever field they're collecting in. And Lanford Wilson certainly did that. So on one wall of this first gallery, you see some of the superstars of the self-taught art world. Martine Ramirez, Morris Hirschfeld, Mose Tolliver, Inez Nathaniel Walker. But then purposefully on the other wall, that's right across from the superstar wall, as we'll call it, there are some of the lesser-known artists, in fact, some artists that until I became familiar with this collection, I had never heard of. It's interesting to see that Wilson wasn't just interested in collecting the big names. As you walk through the gallery, you'll see that he was definitely driven by a certain aesthetic. He was attracted to it, and I would say the commonality in the aesthetic is this boldness, is the way I like to describe it. But it's not always. Some of the works certainly are bold and bright colors and broad areas of color, but there's also a boldness to a lot of the drawings that he collected. By the way, when we were first offered this collection, we went to see the collection in his house in Sag Harbor, and it was really a wonderful experience because the way that Wilson lived with his collection, you know, he collected a lot of paintings and drawings, but when you walked through the house, they weren't always on the wall. And that's because he liked to actually move things around. And so you'd see paintings, you know, kind of leaned up against the walls. And there's someone who was a dear friend of his and had been to his house multiple times mentioned that every time she would go to the house, her favorite painting would be, she'd have to look for it because he would have moved it around. So he was somebody who really lived with the collection and liked to kind of change things up. The other thing I should mention is the reason that this exhibition is here is because his collection was given to the Milwaukee Art Museum. So upon his death, he intended to give the collection to a museum. And when the executor of the estate became familiar with the Milwaukee Art Museum's commitment to the work of self-taught art, that's when the decision was made to give the collection to us. The total gift is 179 works, I think.
When you ended up with all these pieces, how did you decide which ones to include and which ones not to?
You know, I wanted to kind of show the artists who he did collect in depth, and I wanted to show a sampling of artists who were really kind of underknown. There's a strong element of artists from the southern United States included in his collection, so I included a lot of those. Really, the range. It's about the range of his collection, because he was somebody who wasn't boxed in by any rules in collecting. He kind of did his own thing. But I think when you put it all together, you do see this kind of underlying, as you walk through the exhibition, I hope people can walk through and then understand, yes, it makes sense that he was attracted to that piece, even though it's three-dimensional, because there's a relationship between that and this painting on the wall or a Yoakam drawing.
So we're in the third room of the exhibit. Can you tell me a little bit about the aesthetic here?
Well, this is where I really wanted to show, I kind of grouped a lot of the really bold works together. So there are very few fine lines in this last room. Some of the sculpture, too, are very kind of, that are included in big, broad shapes. Big broad areas of color in the paintings and the drawings as well. And so, and this is where William Hawkins, the work of William Hawkins, who again is one of the most well-known American self-taught artists, and along with Joseph Yocum, Hawkins is the other artist that Wilson collected in depth. So Hawkins lived in Columbus, Ohio, and he came to painting as just something he was interested in doing. Making art, he kind of always did it. And interestingly enough, so when you look at these three paintings, there's the painting of the lion, there's a painting of a woman with big red hair, and then there's a kind of sign, a Georgiana sign with a figure on a horse. They're all big paintings, bright colors, broad areas of color. But the images often came from really benign photographs that he would see in the newspapers. Uninteresting photographs you'd just turn the page and wouldn't look twice at. But he would take that, and so that's, I think, is such an interesting thing about Hawkins and his creative process. So he would find something that was in and of itself, this kind of image that was nothing really special about it, and he would transform it into these paintings that are large and kind of in your face.
So when someone comes through the exhibit, what would you want them to get out of it?
First of all, enjoy a lot of the different images, the range of images that they would see, and get an understanding of how a collector, this is really about how a collector approaches building a collection. And someone who was a celebrity in his time, Lanford Wilson, how passionate, and you can tell how in depth he really explored a lot of the different avenues available to some of these artists. He didn't just collect artists of a certain, you know, region. It's almost all American self-taught art, but he really was collecting artists from the Northeast all the way down to the South and the Southwestern United States. And he collected three dimensions. He collected drawings. He collected paintings. It was really about the imagery that he responded to.
And most of this is 19th, 20th century, right?
Yes, I believe it's all 20th century. Oh, maybe some of the game tables are late 19th century.
So these artists are still working today?
Many of them are. I mean, some of them have passed away, but many of the artists are still alive and making art.
Well, thank you so much for showing me around the exhibit.
Thank you.
Margaret Andera is the adjunct curator of contemporary art at the Milwaukee Art Museum. She curated the exhibit Taking Center Stage, the Lanford Wilson Collection of Self-Taught Art. The show is at the museum's Bradley Gallery through July 3rd.